Hello, boys and girls. I'm your Peter Pan storyteller.
This is the story of the last starfighter. This is the story of Gremlins.
This is the story of Tron.
This is the story of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
This is the story of The Empire Strikes Back.
You can read along with me in your book.
You can follow the story along with me.
Every time you hear this sound...
Every time you hear this sound...
Turn the pages when you hear this sound.
You will know it is time to turn the page when you hear the computer sound like this.
Let's begin now.
Ooh, help me, Dr. Zaius.
Dr. Zaius.
What's wrong with me?
I think you're crazy.
Want a second opinion?
You're also lazy.
Dr. Zaius.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the latest episode of When You Hear This Sound, brought to you by the Space Monkey X Audio Workshop. This is your host, Rob Lamley. For the past few months, my friends over at the After Lunch podcast, Michael May, Rob Graham, and Paxton Holly, have been going ape for the Planet of the Apes. They're watching every film in the series and giving us the highs, the lows, and the downright weird twists and turns of this simian-based franchise. As a fellow fan of the Apes, it's been a lot of fun to revisit these old movies and listen to the discussion from the After Lunch crew. Because of their podcast, I've had my mind on the monkeys and the monkeys on my mind, so I thought I'd do a short mini-series of episodes featuring the 1974 album Planet of the Apes, released by Peter Pan Records under the Power Records imprint. The album covers four of the films in the original series, and for this two-part mini-series, I'll be covering two films on each episode. Planet of the Apes started life as a novel released in 1963 by the French author Pierre Boulle. The book tells the story of three astronauts who land on a planet that looks very similar to 20th century Earth, except apes are the dominant species. One of the astronauts is captured and becomes a sort of scientific oddity in that he's human, but shows a higher level of intelligence than the native human population. The 1968 film of the same name is a loose adaptation of the novel, with a script written by the Twilight Zone creator Rod Serling. Charlton Heston takes the lead role as Taylor, a crew member of a lost American spaceship that crash lands on a planet controlled by apes. Taylor is captured, but eventually escapes with the help of empathetic chimpanzees Cornelius and Zira. The film ends with a now-famous dark and ironic twist that shook audiences to the core. Planet of the Apes was a big success, bringing in over $22 million at the box office on a $5 million budget. It also earned three Oscars for Best Costume Design, Best Original Score, and an honorary Oscar for the Monkey Makeup Effects. The sequel, Beneath the Planet of the Apes, was released in 1970. However, very few of the original actors or crew returned. Heston had no interest in the sequel, but agreed to shoot a few scenes for continuity, and then donated his salary to charity. For the most part, this film was essentially a retread of the original. With another crashed spaceship, this one intended as a rescue mission for Taylor's crew, with the surviving crewmate Brent captured by the apes. Brent eventually escapes and discovers an underground civilization of mutant humans who worship a nuclear bomb capable of destroying the planet. Despite poor reviews, Beneath performed at the box office about as well as the original film, making $19 million against a $3 million budget. I don't think it's hyperbole to say that Planet of the Apes was to older Gen Xers what Star Wars was for younger Gen Xers like myself. The apes were everywhere back in the late 60s and early 70s, with merchandise that included a full line of action figures and playsets by Mego, trading cards, t-shirts, Aurora models, puzzles, a board game, lunchboxes, Halloween costumes, and so much more. So it's no surprise that Power Records wanted to get in on ape mania. The Planet of the Apes record was released in 1974, shortly after the final film in the series, Battle for the Planet of the Apes, came out in 1973. This release also coincided with the debut of the short-lived TV series Planet of the Apes, which ran for 14 episodes in 1974. The four stories on the record were also released as read-along comic books at the same time. Unfortunately, I don't have the comic book versions of the stories, but thanks to a rather rabid fanbase for all things POTA, they are readily available from many online sources. With that in mind, I'm going to include a PDF of these comic books in the show notes, over at spacemonkeyx.net. Before we get to the record, be sure to check out the After Lunch podcast wherever you get your podcasts. I'll put a link to their website in the show notes, too. As I said before, for this episode, I'll be presenting the first two films, so here are Planet of the Apes and Beneath the Planet of the Apes, released in 1974 by Power Records. Enjoy.
Planet of the Apes.
Three astronauts traveling in a state of suspended animation approach their destination after 18 months in a spacecraft flying at the speed of light, only to make an unprogrammed splashdown into a vast, foreboding lake.
What went wrong?
I don't know. She went under before I could listen to the tapes.
Be thankful that this air isn't as poisonous as it looks.
Gone. We're here to stay.
But where are we? And even more important, when? According to Haslein's theory of time in a vehicle moving at the speed of light,
Mother Earth will have aged a couple of thousand years while we have outlived everyone we knew while we have scarcely aged at all.
Great. Stranded 2,000 years in the future on a lifeless planet revolving around some unknown star.
Lifeless is right. Nothing can grow here. That lake we landed in is almost pure salt.
Don't give up too soon. We have 3 days worth of food and water. 3 days to find life on a dead planet. Landon, coming?
In a minute.
Ha! And I thought you were ready to give up.
The astronauts' trek for life takes them across a bleak and hostile landscape.
I can't figure this place. There's a thick cloud of dust, but it's as humid as a jungle. Lightning and thunder, but no rain. I give up. I can't drag my feet.
Don't dodge. Don't move your feet.
What is it?
It's life.
Then we're going to make it. Listen, that roar. Is it a waterfall?
That is beautiful.
Don't drink till I test it. It's okay.
Let me at it.
Hold it. Company. So much for our dead planet theory. Hello!
That's the old charm, Taylor. Who or what were they?
That footprint looks human.
Maybe you guys didn't notice, but that pretty one looked very human.
Hey, not bad for a 2,000-year-old man. Here's their trail. They looked like primitive men. I think we've found a Stone Age culture.
You know, I think we could become big shots on this planet.
A rifle shot? In the Stone Age? The primitives are being hunted down by gorillas on horseback.
Suddenly, the spectators become part of the hunt.
Look out! They're after us, too!
Dodge! Ah! Landon, this is madness!
Seeing Dodge shot dead and Landon trampled, Taylor makes a desperate run for freedom, only to find himself facing one of the ground gorillas who have been flushing out the terrified primitives. In a blind rage, Taylor seizes the long stick from the surprised hunter, and the beater finds himself being beaten.
This is for Dodge, and this is for Landon, and...
A rifle cracks, and Taylor feels fire at his throat.
A really vicious beast.
All the more reason to wipe them all out. But I'm sure the animal psychologist will want to save this one for experiments.
After a long period of blackness, Taylor's mind swims back to consciousness. He finds himself strapped down, and dimly he realizes he is receiving blood. Then he passes out again.
This is the one with the strange clothes?
Yes, Dr. Zira. He's lost a lot of blood. I don't know why we're bothering to save him. Filthy humans.
Taylor wakes for good to discover he is living his nightmare. He is caged like an animal in an animal hospital.
Good morning, Bright Eyes. You interest me, Bright Eyes. Oh, I won't hurt you. I'm an animal psychologist. But how can I explain that to you? I'm convinced that humans have great intelligence. If only you had the gift of speech.
Taylor stares in amazement at the talking chimp. He tries to answer, but his throat wound has robbed him of speech. Now it is Zira's turn to stare in amazement at the dumb human who seems to be mouthing words.
Bright Eyes, are you imitating my mouth movements?
In frustration, Taylor suddenly grabs the psychologist's clipboard and pencil.
Hey, give that back. I warn you not to get too close, Dr. Zira. All humans are vicious beasts.
But Zira is shaken to the core by Taylor's note. My name is Taylor. Zira shows Taylor's note to her fiancé.
Cornelius, I tell you, he has ape intelligence.
A human wrote this?
He could prove your theory about a missing link between the lowly human beast and the civilized ape.
Yes, yes. Dr. Zaius would have to let me pursue my archaeological research then. A writing human. If only he could talk. Meanwhile, Taylor has recovered his self-control.
Nova, is that what they call you? Thanks for saving my life. Hey, I'm talking. My voice has come back.
Several days later.
We've come for the one called Bright Eyes.
It's Taylor, not Bright Eyes.
I've told the authorities about your talking trick, Bright Eyes. Now you'll see what comes of being too clever. They'll remove your brain to study it.
Suddenly, realizing his helplessness, Taylor struggles vainly.
He's strong for a human.
I club him, but Dr. Zaius wants him in an inquiry.
In collar and leash, Taylor is led through the door of a forbidding inquiry room.
Dr. Zira, I can talk.
Shh, I heard about it. And Cornelius and I arranged this inquiry to try to save your life.
The inquiry is a fiasco. In vain does Taylor try to tell his story.
We came from outer space, from a distant planet called Earth.
Nonsense. Dr. Cornelius, do you believe this preposterous nonsense?
Not entirely, Dr. Zaius, but he does accurately describe the eastern desert region where I made my archaeological discoveries.
Your discoveries were scientific heresy, and you have been forbidden to speak of them. I am a fair ape, Bright Eyes, but as Minister of Science, I believe in proof. The companions you spoke of, could they confirm this wild tale?
One is dead at your hands. The other, I don't know. Perhaps he was also captured.
Very well. Let us see if your fictitious astronaut friend can be found among the survivors of the hunt in which you were captured, Taylor.
Taylor, do not antagonize them needlessly. Our careers are in jeopardy and your life.
You don't fully believe me either, do you, Zira? That's him, Landon, on the left. Landon! John, it's me, Taylor.
Let him approach, guards.
You vicious savages. You've removed his frontal lobe.
Return that animal to his cage before he gets violent.
Beaten and hauled back to imprisonment, Taylor gives in to his despair.
Nova, this place is insane, mad. For some reason, they fear me, want to destroy me. How can I fight them? I'm all alone.
I've come for this mail. He's to be transferred to the zoo.
Says who?
Dr. Zaius, read it for yourself.
This is no good. It's not signed.
Hit him, Bright Eyes! I'm Lucius, Aunt Zira's nephew. We've arranged your escape.
The girl!
Under cover of darkness, Zira leads Taylor and Nova to a wagon.
Be quiet, and we may manage this. All men look alike to most apes. We will meet Cornelius in the East Desert at his archaeological excavation. He and I must clear ourselves of the heresy charge.
Their luck holds, and after a long, tense ride...
I'll take this rifle! Nobody's going to capture me again!
Cornelius leads the group to a strange and somehow magnificent cavern. I want you to see my archaeological digs, and perhaps some surprises even for you, Taylor.
I can't believe this! Spectacles, dentures, beautiful silverware... Cornelius, this represents a civilization more advanced than yours.
I know. Therein lies the heresy. Our schools teach that the ape evolved from the animal human. Have they been teaching us lies?
Necessary lies. For the protection of our race, and for which, unfortunately, you must all die.
Dr. Zaius, in the interest of science...
In the interest of survival, Dr. Cornelius, killer humans must be forever kept in their place.
No more gobbledygook talk!
At the speed of a cat, Taylor bounds to the cave entrance and pins Dr. Zaius.
In the interest of our survival, Zaius, send back your guards or you perish!
Taylor, you wouldn't!
Of course he would! What are your terms, killer human?
You're a fine one to speak of killing. I want freedom for the girl and myself, plus a good horse and a pardon for my friends.
Granted.
Dr. Zira, I'd like to kiss you goodbye.
Of course, Bright Eyes. But I do wish you weren't so ugly.
Am I safe in untying you, Dr. Zaius?
I am an ape of my word. But you realize the cave must be sealed up.
I can't fight you, Dr. Zaius. But the humans, what will become of them?
They go to meet their destiny.
Just hold tight, Nova! What's that up ahead?
Oh, no! No! Nova! Now all the pieces come together. This is my planet Earth 2,000 years in the future. And my civilization destroyed itself. Oh, Nova! Nova! You are what is left of the human race!
Beneath the Planet of the Apes.
Man has always peered fearfully into the future, dreading the glimpse that will show him all his dreams turned to dust. Several thousand years into our future, this man, astronaut Taylor, has had his glimpse of nightmare. He clings to sanity, but only barely.
So now I know. I've traveled through a time warp in space thousands of years into the future and back to my own planet. And now I know that sometime after I left, my people went the way of nuclear destruction. If only they could see their legacy. What's left of the world is topsy-turvy. Apes, talking apes, rule Earth. Humans are mute animals, like you, my lovely Nova. Where do we go from here? Back there are the apes thirsting for my blood. Ahead? What? Well, be it ever so humble. That was home, Nova, but it's certain that nobody's home now to welcome us. Fire! How? What's feeding it? The fire's gone. I don't get it. Either I've lost my mind or... But you saw it, Nova, and the horse. Let's try again. Lord! I don't know what's happening here, but I'll have to go ahead alone, Nova. Wear this, Nova. If anything happens, go back to Ape City. Find Zira, the chimpanzee psychologist. She'll help you. And keep away from the gorillas!
Ice?
Am I having hallucinations? Is there something supernatural trying to block my way? I'll hack my way through!
Gone. Ice and Taylor both. The grim wreckage of a great city shimmers in an eerie stillness as silent as Nova's scream. Distraught and bewildered, Nova rides aimlessly toward a sight that will only confuse her more.
Skipper, speak to me. It's Brent. Skipper, hang on.
Where are we?
I don't know. We were following Taylor's exact trajectory and probably duplicated his fate. I don't know where we are, but the smashed instruments tell us when. 3955 A.D.
You shouldn't joke at a time. A time?
Skipper! What a fool's errand. Searching for a lost spaceship. Now there are two. Hello. Oh, no. I'm dreaming. None of this is true. You don't smash up a spaceship and step out to meet a beautiful ragamuffin out for a morning canter. I am friend. Brent. You understand? Whoops. No sail. Wait! I look for Taylor. Taylor!
The name strikes a responsive chord in Nova.
Taylor! We came down right on target.
To his dismay, Brent soon learns that Nova is mute.
Where? Where is Taylor? Well, nothing ventured. Let's look, huh? Maybe somebody around here can speak.
Under a slack rein, the horse heads for home.
I've never seen such desolation. We always thought there must be life on other planets, but who'd bet on one like this? Hey, vegetation! Things are looking up.
Brent's voice reminds Nova of Taylor. She is almost peaceful, till her animal's sharp eyes spot something.
Hey, what?
General Ursus has called for a giant rally at the arena tonight.
At last, action!
Gorillas? In uniform? On horseback? And talking? Wow! They'll never believe this back home. As soon as it's dark, baby, we find that arena.
I alone can lead you to victory over the unknown enemy that lurks in the forbidden zone. An enemy that threatens our very existence. Are they human? This threat to our ape civilization?
If so, we shall wipe them out! Along with every human and eating our food, crowding us off our precious land!
Ursus, lead us! Ursus, lead us!
It's like something from mankind's past, seen in an ape's nightmare. Let's get away from here while we can.
Suddenly, Nova grabs Brent's arm and points at two chimpanzees slipping out of the arena.
The gorillas have gone mad, Zira. Imagine civilized apes going to war.
Not apes, Cornelius. Gorillas. They're not fit to be called apes. Oh, Nova.
You've come back. Is that Taylor with you?
No, I'm Brent. You know Taylor?
Another talking human. Oh, we had great affection for Taylor.
Zira saved him from death and worse at the hands of... But never mind. You must leave immediately. The gorillas lost for war. They've been seeking a pretext, and now scouts have disappeared in the Forbidden Zone. No human will be safe. Probably no chimpanzees either. Go! Do not fall into their hands.
Two chimpanzees disappear into the night.
They're gone. Nova, I've never met a girl with such interesting friends. War! War! I can smell it. Hey, either you're beginning to understand. You know, back home, the trouble with most women was that they talk too much.
Suddenly, the angry whine of a bullet.
Gorillas. Starting now, I follow my chimpanzee's advice.
Brent's skillful riding frustrates his pursuers. But as they race deep into the Forbidden Zone, to the outskirts of a molten ruin, the glassy crust beneath them gives way. Stunned, Brent vaguely hears the disappearing clatter of his horse's hooves. He squints at a great underground cavern.
Oh, no! Nova, do you realize? Taylor, you're telling me that he made the same discovery. This is Earth. My Earth. And mankind blew it. I wonder when. As if it makes any difference. Nova, is that light ahead? Is this an underground city or graveyard?
Suddenly, weird, compelling organ music fills the square.
Music? You hear it, Nova? Do you hear a voice, too? Come to the cathedral. The music is coming from there, but the voice is inside my head.
Speaking in a whisper, Brent holds Nova to the shadows.
They're praying. They're not making a sound, but I can hear their prayer. Oh, Lord, look what they're worshiping. An atomic bomb. Do you hear them? We reveal our inner selves to our Maker.
The strange worshippers pull at their faces. Despite himself, a strangled cry escapes Brent as he sees the ghastly heritage of atomic radiation. The bomb is indeed their Maker. Immediately, Brent and Nova are surrounded by mutants and bombarded by telepathic questions.
I'm from your past. I seek a man named Taylor. Please, cover your faces. Yes, I know Taylor. You mean he's alive? Temporarily? What do you mean?
Brent?
An incredible reunion.
I haven't seen you for 2,000 years. Yes, I should have left a message. Meet me in the cathedral under the atom bomb. That's the Alpha Omega bomb, Brent. Do you know what that means? That's the Doomsday Bomb, built as a deterrent to war back in the 1970s. Evidently, it didn't stop atomic warfare. But if that one had gone off, not even this much would have been left.
A chain reaction would have destroyed even the planet itself.
Exactly.
That is precisely why we worship it, as an instrument of peace.
You can speak.
Of course. We usually bypass such primitive communication, but with primitives...
Well, listen to this primitive. Defuse that bomb. If the gorillas ever lay hands on it...
Gorillas?
Gorillas. Marching on this city right now.
The gorillas are indeed marching to the outskirts of the city, where they are stopped.
A great wall of fire!
Our enemy is mighty!
Gorillas! How will they pass our wall of fire? Our bottomless chasm? Our precipice of ice?
Illusions! All illusions! What if they're all too thick to be frightened off?
Fate challenges Ursus to achieve greatness! Follow!
Amid the thunder of thousands of hooves, the gorillas blindly follow their leader.
General, the flames have no heat.
Illusion! Our enemy hopes to defeat us with illusion!
Then they are clever. Perhaps too clever for us.
Nonsense! This means they are weak!
And the guerrilla hordes ride over a chasm and through a precipice of ice.
Your Excellence, guerrilla troops are streaming into our city.
The bomb! Let me try to defuse it.
You will stay where you are.
The mutant chief projects paralyzing thought waves.
My head!
I can't move!
The power of the bomb will preserve peace.
The great doors burst open.
Halt! Or face destruction! Another mighty illusion, puny human!
Stop, both of you!
Enough play! So be it!
The bomb glows with deadly heat. In the hum of doom, Nova speaks her first and last word. With this unspeakable explosion, the city once again, and for all time, is destroyed. And in the doomsday chain reaction, so also is the planet called Earth. And now we too have seen the future. Must it be our future? Now that we know, can we make sure it will not be?
Thanks for stopping by the show today. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. You can head over to spacemonkeyx.net for pictures, links, and additional information about this episode, and check out some of the other podcasts presented by the Space Monkey X Audio Workshop. This has been your host, Rob Lamley. Thanks for listening to When You Hear This Sound, the podcast dedicated to the weird and wonderful world of read-along record books and storybook vinyl. I'll see y'all next time.